AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show, live with you on a Monday, the 20th of December. Good to be with you today. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll definitely touch on the Potter trial. It's now in jury deliberations. I don't think they've come on. They've come to a decision yet. They went to jury deliberations right around noon today. So we'll give you an update on the closing statements, the jury instructions, and where they're at right now. And if we do have breaking news, we'll make sure we let you know about that as we go through the show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll say hi to Patrick here in just a minute. But starting us off today is the Director of Infectious Disease Epidemiology Prevention and Control Division over at the Minnesota Department of Health. Chris Ayersman is kind enough to join us once again to talk about the fight against coronavirus in the state of Minnesota. Director, thank you very much. I appreciate the time as always.
Thank you for having me.
My absolute pleasure. I'm going to start off with a positive if I can. For a while there, and I don't know if it's still the case, Minnesota was leading the nation in booster shots. And it was a sign of a great success of that rollout of that program.
Actually, Minnesota continues to lead the nation. We were
nice.
We have been number one for the 65 plus population for booster doses. So we were leading in that, and then we were second behind Vermont, which is not necessarily a bad place to be. So we were second for our 18 plus and our 50 plus population. So we continue to do really well with booster doses, and I do want to take the opportunity to say, if you haven't gotten a booster and you're eligible, please do take advantage of that.
And we should mention that in the state of Minnesota, the governor made the decision and the Department of Health made the decision to expand this out. I believe is it 16 and older can get the booster shot?
Yes, now everyone 16 and older can receive a booster. And actually, that was approved both by the FDA and the ACIP. So it's all good to go on the science side as well. Just want to acknowledge that, you know, we've talked about the fact that for anyone 18 and older, you can mix and match with the boosters. So for instance, I received the Pfizer as my primary series, and I got Moderna as my booster. If you're 16 or 17, you can only receive Pfizer simply because that's the only vaccine that's currently authorized for those ages.
Okay.
So that's the only difference for 16 to 17-year-olds. But otherwise, everybody 16 and older can and should get a booster.
And I gladly got my Pfizer one over at the Veterans Administration. Thank you, U.S. Army. I was able to get that. I'm staying with the science element. You talked about the medical science. I saw the stat. I want to ask you if you're aware if this is true, that if you are vaccinated and you have a booster shot, you are 20 times it's 20 times less likely to die of coronavirus than someone who's unvaccinated. Is that correct?
Yes, that has been the case,
wow.
Particularly as we've looked at the Delta variant. Now, with the Omicron variant circulating, that has changed the game a little bit in terms of protection from the vaccines, but it's more related to developing infection versus hospitalizations and death. It really, the data suggests that being vaccinated and with a booster, that you still have strong protection against hospitalizations and death, but the Omicron variant is better at evading the protection of the vaccines when it comes to just causing disease. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we're really encouraging people to get that booster dose, because it really bumps up your neutralizing antibody level, the level of those antibodies that are going to help your body, you know, fight off Omicron. And so, we are encouraging people to really take advantage of that booster.
Let's talk a little about Omicron, because it is one of those cases where, and this sounds very familiar to when you and I talked in the past about Delta variant when that first came on the horizon. We've learned more about Omicron. It sounds like it's more contagious, but at least from some of the initial reports I have seen, it doesn't seem like it's as a serious as an infection as the Delta variant. Is that true?
Right. So what we're seeing is it's highly infectious. Mm. And so, yeah, we're seeing a lot of transmission from Omicron. The early data suggests that, yes, it does seem like what we've seen so far is, you know, fewer serious cases. But what I think we have to keep in mind is two things related to that. One is that we have, you know, Delta still circulating and Omicron coming on board. So we've kind of got two things happening at once, plus we have influenza out there.
Yes.
And our healthcare systems are really, really stretched at this point. So we want to still take Omicron seriously, because even if it's less serious, if more and more people get it, you know, it still has the potential to impact a lot of people because of that more widespread transmission. So it's kind of a good news, bad news situation, but definitely it's very much more transmissible. And like I said, we're seeing that some of the preliminary data suggests that, you know, the vaccines, their ability to keep you from getting disease is less than what we saw with Delta, but still offers protection against the hospitalization and death, which is ultimately, you know, what we're trying to avoid. And that's why we really have been saying it's important when you're out and when you're, you know, socializing with people and you're out in public, you know, that you are masking. So like for me, even, you know, fully vaccinated, fully boosted, I still, you know, mask when I'm in an indoor setting away from home, just to have that additional layer of protection.
As you bring that up, I want to mention something that concerns me about this. I mean, quite a few things concern me about this. But I mean, I've been to the malls. I was at the post office today, and I've got, you know, a person behind me not wearing a mask, mouth breather, great. And, you know, and not 6 feet away from me, you know, right on my, you know, on my caboose. It's kind of one of those things where I look at what's going on right now, and I'm very concerned, not only because of the flights, because obviously this was a concern when coronavirus first came on the scene. It was like, if we didn't shut down the airports in time, and henceforth it got everywhere fairly quickly. But as well, I had friends that went and saw the Spider-Man movie, and they were in movie theaters that were jam-packed. The movie made a ton of money, and so the theaters were all jam-packed, and they said there was about 50-50 people wearing masks. It is something that if we're not taking this seriously, Omicron's going to be everywhere by the time we get done with the Christmas holidays.
Yes, and we're seeing, I mean, there's a lot of it, and like I said, it really spreads quickly, and the expectation is based on the time it takes to, you know, kind of double the number of cases, it will probably be dominant in the U.S. in just the next few weeks. Because even in Minnesota, we're reporting we have 8 confirmed cases right now, but we, you know, expect to have more, you know, specimens coming off sequencing tomorrow. So we'll probably get some more cases, and we know that there are many, many more cases circulating, because these last 6 cases that we identified, they had not traveled outside of Minnesota.
Yeah.
So they got it from someone else. So that tells us that there is, you know, and there has been community transmission. So it's definitely time for us to take, you know, Omicron seriously. And I think there's ways that you can, you know, live your life, and still be cautious, or choose kind of make safer choices. What concerned me a little bit was talking with some folks, you know, this weekend that I would consider to be pretty forward thinking, you know, fully vaccinated, boosted, but they really were talking about the pandemic in the past tense.
Yeah.
And I thought, as much as we want it to be over, we are still in the middle of it. So, yeah, I think that's really important for the listeners to know that, you know what, you know, you don't have to just lock yourself away, but you really have to think about the choices that you make when you're going out and about.
Chris Ayersman is joining us, the Director of Infectious Disease Epidemiology Prevention and Control Division over at the Minnesota Department of Health. As you bring up Omicron here, and one of the things I want to make sure I downplay as well, something I said, which is it seems to be less severe. But the reality is if you're unvaccinated, that, you know, that less severe is a wide ranging description, because it, once again, you're getting coronavirus, you're going to get sick. And as we've seen, our hospitals have been stretched to the core as far as their capacity of being able to handle the amount of patients who are infected or in the ICU. The reality is that even though that some people are trying to downplay Omicron, the reality is if you're not vaccinated, it's just as serious as anything else, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you don't want to, if you're not vaccinated, you really want to think again about, you know, maybe it's time to change my mind. you know, you might want to think about that. But yes, I mean, Omicron is still, you know, a serious illness. And if you're not vaccinated, you really have no protection. I think, you know, even though we talk, I mean, I want to be, you know, candid in that we're seeing that, you know, the effectiveness of the vaccine is less with Omicron. It's not zero. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's important. If you're not vaccinated, it's zero. And so you've got to keep that in mind as well.
I want to as well, you know, step away from Omicron for a second here and talk about just the Thanksgiving went through, because am I crazy or is it was incredibly similar to what we saw in 2020 rather, that you had, you know, this right before Thanksgiving, it kind of ramped up. We ended up right after Thanksgiving having a lot of cases. And although the case counts are still high and the ICU, the hospitalization rates are still high, it has been coming down since the beginning of the month of December. Now, once again, understanding Omicron adds a new context to this, but didn't we see a similar layout of what happened last year around Thanksgiving again this year?
Well, I mean, we certainly have had, you know, we saw lots and lots of cases in November. That was kind of the high point or low point, as you look at it, in terms of cases. And as you said, you know, we've had high case numbers, but they've kind of equilibrated a little bit. And what we don't know is, will Omicron change that? And will we start to see those numbers go back up? You know, in terms of, you know, what did the Thanksgiving holiday, how did that play in and things? You know, we saw some higher numbers after that, but it's been a really a kind of a difficult month to really assess what's going on, because we had holidays with lower testing, then we've had a couple of snowstorms, and then people are really focused on getting ready for the upcoming winter holidays, and so yeah, I think it's just a little bit of an anomaly this month in terms of, are people focused on testing? Now, I think there'll be a lot of testing this week just as people anticipate gathering together.
Mm-hmm. One of the things as well I wanted to mention was a story that came on out where a doctor, I believe it was from the Mayo Clinic, made the point. He said, we have had people dying in the state of Minnesota from non-COVID reasons because they can't get into an ICU unit or on a ventilator because of this overwhelming nature. Talk a little bit about that, because once again, it's the far-reaching impact. It's not just COVID that's being affected here, that we have on any given day in the state of Minnesota, heart attacks, strokes, car accidents, you know, people fall off a ladder. They need to get into an ICU unit. And we have hospital after hospital that's full to the rim right now that doesn't have any space left to get anyone in.
Right. I mean, it's unfortunate that people who need care for other reasons can't get it because of the crush due to COVID. And so I think that's something for people to keep in mind, and why it's so important for all of us to, you know, do what we can, is because it's not just related to COVID, but it's related to healthcare in general and making sure that we have access to it. But it's true. And I've heard from many people, myself, you know, friends and relatives who have had a health encounter that was delayed, you know, in the emergency room because, you know, for a stroke-like illness or a heart-related condition that was delayed because of the crush of COVID. And so that's, you know, that's concerning. And that's part of the reason why it's so important that all of us, vaccinated or not, are doing what we can to minimize the chance that we end up needing that type of care. We want to make sure that our healthcare systems are able to provide care for people when they need it. And if we can take steps to make sure that we're not needing it, if we absolutely don't have to, that will benefit everyone.
And I don't want to get too much into the inner workings of the Minnesota Department of Health, but have there been any discussions you guys have had? I mean, to be blunt, I thought when Governor Walz was running the state under emergency powers under the conditions that we had, I thought he did a very good job. The Minnesota Department of Health did a fantastic job. You saved a lot of human beings' lives, which is, at the end of the day, that you guys are doing exceptional work over there. But has there been any discussion about possibly bringing back the emergency powers, in the sense being that this is still pretty bad and we're not past the worst part we were at last year, but we still are having very high levels of hospitalizations, very high levels of transmission. Has those discussions had all taken place?
Well, we certainly, have talked quite a bit about what Omicron might be and, what steps could be taken, to address it. I think, the decisions about emergency powers and those kinds of things mean my job is to provide data on what we're seeing in the science and things. And then those discussions are happening, at a different level. But I think it's fair to say that everyone's taking the current situation very seriously, and looking at what we're seeing in our healthcare settings.
Final question for you here, and it's not a question. I'm just going to give you the floor at this point, because once again, it's at this point, we have to implore everyone, whether or not, for whatever reason, you've not gotten vaccinated, now is the time for you to start getting vaccinated, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter, if you haven't done it up until this point. But certainly consider it in light of, what we're seeing. I mean, just some examples of the impact that vaccination can make in a positive way, and recognize that this is obviously looking at what we saw with Delta. But there was a federal study that looked at the number of deaths and hospitalizations that would have been would have occurred, or how much higher they would have been without any vaccination. And when we looked at that, those proportions, so death would have been 3.2 times higher, wow, hospitalizations would have been 4.9 times higher if we didn't have vaccination. In Minnesota, that would have been an additional 10,000 deaths and an additional 125,000 hospitalizations. So just the people that have, been vaccinated, you've made that difference already. We've saved 10,000 deaths and 125,000 hospitalizations. And when we look at, our hospitalization rate and how many people are being admitted to the hospital, and we consider, yes, we know we're going to see some proportion of cases as a vaccine breakthrough. No vaccine is 100% effective. But when we look at, our average daily, 7-day average for daily admissions is 180. When we consider, that 168 of those admissions are for people who are not vaccinated. So again, huge burden on the healthcare system, and it's something we control. There's so many things in life we can't control. And, masking and getting vaccinated are things we can. So, for sure mask. And if you haven't been vaccinated, think about whether or not now's the time to do that. And if you have been vaccinated and you haven't got your booster, take advantage of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Chris Ayersman, once again, is the Director of Infectious Disease Epidemiology, Prevention and Control Division at the Minnesota Department of Health. I say this every time, and I'll say it again. Bless you. Bless everyone in that Department of Health. As much criticism as you guys have gotten, it's unjustified. You guys have been brilliant. You have saved lives. You have prevented people from going in the hospital for months on end, and you have saved people from having to go bankrupt from medical bills. I mean, all these things you guys have done, you deserve an insane amount of credit. I am so grateful you people are running that Department of Health, because without you there, this state would be in much worse condition. So thank you very, very much for all that you've done.
Well, thank you for those kind words, and wish you a good rest of your day.
Thank you very much, and all my best for the holidays there. Director Chris Erisman, once again, the Infectious Disease Epidemiology Prevention and Control Division at the Minnesota Department of Health, kind enough to join us today. Let's take a break, come on back, unpack a few things that she had said. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.